Build a polished wardrobe that shows you stay you wherever you go with Mack Weldon. Use code MACK25 for 25% off your first order of $125 or more at MackWeldon.com.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right. Welcome to it, Old School. Austin Orman, Derek Pearson with you here on 93.7 The Ticket and TicketFM.com. 402-464-5685 if you want to be a part of the show. Big thanks to Starter Heyman Jewelers for sponsoring our text lines and our stream. You also see us on Allo Channel 961. DP, we talked a little bit about player leadership before we got into talking about the Dirty Tar Heels, but that's all right. We can get back on track here at the top of the hour. Sounds like Husker Hall of Famer Jay Foreman will be along around 5:30. Welcome him into the program around then. But in terms of single-digit numbers, right, that's a big thing for Matt Rhule and this coaching staff, is those are the players that have demonstrated leadership qualities. And Matt Rhule made sure to remind people that this wasn't a coach decision, that him and his coaches stay out of the middle of this process. And we have the clip from Matt Rhule here. So big thanks to Huskers.com for providing the audio. Let's hear from Matt Rhule on single-digit jerseys. We'll give you our reaction after that.
Well, I don't do it. I mean, they vote on it, right? So it's their decision. You know, at the end of the day, we want to be a tough, hardworking, competitive program, you know, the things that you can control. And so the guys that they feel like are the best representatives of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, they have to make those decisions, you know. Now, I mean, over the years, I've never really loved when my quarterback gets that. You know, I always like it when it's a physical, competitive, you know, position. You know, unfortunately, our O-lineman obviously can't get it. But, you know, it's just a way to, you know, kind of say, hey, this is, you know, we think about what we want Husker football to look like. These are great representatives of it. And so, but yeah, I don't get involved. I don't vote. I don't mess with the vote. I don't steer the vote. I let them pick.
That's different than game captains. Again, we went through that kind of rigmarole the last couple of years. But Matt Rhule says, you know, player-led leadership turns into the single-digit numbers. There's been a lot of them on defense recently, DP. A handful of those guys are back, but a couple big ones are gone. Big fellas in the middle, Ty Robinson, Nash Hutmaker, of course, out the door. But in terms of returning single digits, Deshaun Singleton, who we talked to at Big Ten Media Days, returns. Marquise Buford, talked to him at Big Ten Media Days. He returns. Malcolm Hartzog. And then Vincent Chavers was wearing number one by the end of the year after Jamari Butler wanted to switch back to number 10. When you look at that list of four guys right there, Singleton, Buford, Hartzog, and we'll throw Chavers in, that's three defensive, you know, backfield players and a linebacker. That's no one up front in the trenches. How many of those guys would you guess get a single-digit jersey coming up this season?
See, I'm always confused by a couple of things. One, in saying it's a player deal. Mm-hmm. One, linemen can't. And you have the black shirts. Mm-hmm. That's the sound that that comes into my brain. That the black shirts, like, what's a bigger deal? Single digit or black shirt, if you're a defender. Mm-hmm. Right? And yeah, you can be a black shirt and have a single digit, but should you? Shouldn't the black shirt be its own thing, the highest thing you can say about a defensive player wearing Nebraska's, like, would that be the thing? Like, wouldn't that be the thing that unifies me at the highest level? But of course, you can't give linemen single digits. You can give defensive linemen, which mm-hmm. is weird mm-hmm. that you one side can and one side can't. Defensive backs, those three, we're not even, we haven't mentioned Sierra Wright, who I think
we're getting there,
right? Who yep, may be the guy, right? Mm-hmm. In that, what do you do? Somebody up front has to be in the representation. We would almost lean towards Cam Linhart just because out of comfort and familiarity.
I was going to say, I mean, Cam Linhart's on the list for me, but we know this coaching staff really likes Elijah Judy right there in the middle.
But
that's my reaction too. I'm saying they like him. It's player led. It's player voted on. Could be neither of those guys.
Again, coaches like him. Do the players like him?
Right.
Which
right.
We'll find out, right? Mm-hmm. We'll find out those things. If you pay attention to social media and conversation, then Lyndon Meyer might be the guy that gets a single digit at the tight end position. Mm-hmm. You could do that with Harburg, but you're changing something that I'm not sure that you want to change, right? But the honor of it says that mm-hmm. his offseason work has been exemplary, and that is what a Husker heart is all about, mm-hmm. is Heinrich Harburg. So one of the two, I would imagine, since none of the linemen, then the receivers, and we will have to take expectation from the new talent that is supposed to make this offense different and explosive versus the old established Ja'Cory Barney talent, which we've seen and have some point of reference for in one of the best first year presentations of a Husker offensive player. That mm-hmm. may be it. Maybe it's an Emmett thing. Maybe it's an Emmett thing. But again, you're changing a thing. Like at some point, you're breaking the thing to create a new thing. And are you making it a better thing mm-hmm. and taking people out of the familiarity? I don't know. Who the players are, like, how do you talk your players out of not choosing Dylan Royal?
Like, you have to guide your people as a leader, they'll pick him.
Well, but mm-hmm. to say, you literally say, I don't like my quarterbacks being single digit, right? I don't like them being exemplary of being the toughest, but it may be the most outstanding thing you could say about Dylan Royal. You understand the arm talent and the cerebral assassin and the ability to work and film study and all those things. Mm-hmm. But if you can add to it,
he's not just a pretty boy,
that he's a tough SOB, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. That he is his father's son. Mm-hmm. Then yeah, you're saying a different thing, but you just said that you don't like for your quarterback to be that example. I don't know. See, I mean, Elijah Judy, you have a defensive lineman wearing 16. So, right. Twist my arm. Not really a thing. Then outside of that, you're looking for maybe another linebacker.
I think Tasan McColl is in the conversation as an upperclassman.
McGahee might be in the conversation.
Potentially. I would go Marquise Watson Trent probably before that. He's going to have to be a communicator, right? That's a guy.
He is in the conversation.
He's in the Billy Kemp, Jamal Banks conversation.
Right, that you can do that. And then I'm just not sure that if you had asked me 6 months ago, I'd have said Bly Hill as an up and comer that would step into that space and make that decision different. Maybe Quentin Ives being the thing that you're going to have to rely on, but then you're going to change Emmett's number if he's the single digit, right? Mm-hmm. But who's going to be a better example of Nebraska's offensive toughness than Emmett Johnson? This season will tie directly into Nebraska's success. If he's having a great year, Dylan will have a better year. If he's not, if he's struggling, then for whatever reason, you're putting more burden on Raiola and the bigs up front and mm-hmm. the new offensive talent on the perimeter, and you're going to need more from the tight ends, whoever they are, whether it's Lindenmeyer, Hartsburg, Bonner, or whatever version of it you decide to put together.
Lindenmeyer being a single digit just doesn't look right aesthetically to me. If he earns it, more power to him. But, like, that's a dude, DP, you know, local guy, grinded his way up through the ranks sort of thing. That's not a guy that needs to wear four. That's a guy that 44, I think, fits perfectly. Right? Like, that's a tight end number for a tight end's tight end. Like, come on. We can't make that guy wear a single digit.
Yeah, again, your tradition and the thing that you say you want people to aspire to. So you have goalposts that you put out there. Mm-hmm. I think it may be a different focus, right? Because it does what it does. It forces talkers like us to have to address the single digit in the room when, quite frankly, I don't care. Like, that's the real truth is what you decide to do with it, what the players choose. Okay, it tells me what's going on in the locker room behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I care about that. The number aspect, just tell me who the leaders are, and I will buy into that. But I get that the single digit numbers.
Well, isn't that the simplest way to do it? Is whoever the players vote as their quote unquote room captain gets a single digit.
Yeah, I mean, but you can't say that you're going to have two corners, maybe a third, a nickel back, a safety, all in your single digits.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, because you can't put offensive linemen in it. You really don't want to put defensive linemen in it. You happened to last year because those were the two pieces of talent that were in the room that, quite frankly, one, changed their body type, two, changed their work ethic. Okay, well, geez, you know, you said the thing. They're going to be the first two off the bus on the road games, right? If we're trying to tell people who we are, we're the Ty Robinson, Nash Hutmaker spirit. Who are those people? And if you told me Javon Wright, I wouldn't blink.
It's on my list as well.
Right? If you told me Javon, I wouldn't blink. If you told me Emmett was going to wear number two, I'm okay with that. Like, I get it. Like, I get it. I understand. But the black shirt thing plays out. The line part portion of it plays out. And then, quite frankly, in the end, forget the numbers. Tell me who's put in the most work. Who do the players believe have worked the hardest and the most consistently to make this a successful football season? That's what this whole conversation is about.
Let's hear more from Matt Rhule here. What are you looking for during this period, right? The first week of spring, or not spring ball, fall ball. What is Matt Rhule looking for out of his team? Here's the Husker head coach.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, we told the guys exactly what we want. You know, it's a 6-day ramp-up acclimation period with a 7th day of rest. So, you know, we want to obviously establish our standard of effort. You know, we don't have a lot of time to coach effort. We have a good enough. One of the reasons why you don't have to coach is when you have you know, a lot of depth, a lot of competition. You know, if you don't want to play hard, then so be it. We want to reward the guys who know what they're doing. You know, so assignment knowledge. So a lot of testing in the meetings. A lot of, hey, how much did you work? You know, over the summer, how well do you know what you're supposed to do? We want to keep them healthy. You know, most injuries happen. Most soft tissue injuries happen after the first week, beginning of the second week. So we're trying to ramp up and build up where we're not doing too much. And then we want to establish our practice standards, you know, the way that we want to practice everything from like the gear that we wear to when we get into contact, how to make contact with guys, how to hold the ball security to, you know, pre-snap penalties. So all the things that we can control, we're trying to teach this week and do. And then finally, situational football. You know, Dana had them out there. They were doing 2 minutes, you know, today on offense. We know the games are going to come down in the Big Ten to the
weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits started just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Last minute of the game. And so we're at a point now where we can really focus on the situational FBI. So that's several things, but some are football and some are just related to the standards.
When you walk into fall camp, DP, you know it's on the doorstep, you know it's on the horizon. What are the first two or three orders of business for you as a coach?
Oh, man. Standard. And the simple first thing in the verbiage, because you have to talk to them first. So the language has to be the most important thing, because it is the thing. People miss that. The language is the first carrier of the program. The way you communicate, the words you use, the clarity of them, the volume of them, all those things get you out of those chaotic situations, mm-hmm. right? Because when chaos happens, you want it to slow down, and then you say the thing that is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And it has to be heard, recognized, and then executed amongst 90,000 screaming fans and 21 other players on the field who can and may hear the same thing you heard, but you have to have an understanding of what they heard. Mm-hmm. Austin has to know what DP heard, what it means, what it tells him to do so he can execute as well. Then pace, energy of pace, urgency, mm-hmm. probably. So vocabulary, urgency, mm-hmm. because tied to vocabulary is what can I say to you quickly, clearly, cleanly that tells you what you should be doing next now.
Mm-hmm. right.
And for you to execute it now, give you an order. I need for you with some pace and urgency to give it priority, mm-hmm. and be clear in the communication.
And that's probably simpler in terms of energy and motivation on day one, but you're into day two, day three of fall camp, you know, week two, week three, be able to have that same word carry that same meaning.
Your 10-yard dash? What's your 20-yard dash? That tells me how quickly you can move. Mm-hmm. That's how quickly we're going to move all the time.
Yeah.
Like that's the standard. Mm-hmm. Your best is the standard. Whatever mm-hmm. that is, right? And I can just say, best, Austin, that tells me move. Move with some urgency, priority. I was clear in what I meant. You understood what I said. Mm-hmm. And everybody else who heard it, when I'm coaching one, I'm coaching all. So when I say, Austin, best, everybody else understands that, one, I'm either using you or amplifying you. Mm-hmm. And I'm either saying that you're giving me the best or you're not. Either way, they're on point and on call because, hey, Bach, what did I just say to Austin? Best, coach. Everybody else understands. They understand. And I can say best in front of 90,000. Michigan will know only one thing. Mm-hmm. Austin's at tempo. Austin has given urgency. He's been given a message, and everybody else has to move with it.
And it has to hit the same whether it's Michigan at home, USC at home, or Houston Christian.
Best. Listen, what is your pace? We get through and you go, okay, your time in the 10-yard dash, because when you break the huddle,
get there.
Mm-hmm. Right? Get there. Mm-hmm. We know how quickly you can go. And if you're not moving at best speed, what are you telling me? Something's wrong? You're disconnected? What are you telling me? Right? Because if you're not at your best, I probably need to get somebody in there who can move at their best. Mm-hmm. And if you're mm-hmm. everybody else is moving best and you aren't. Mm-hmm. Oh. But if you're moving best, you're the standard for all of it. Best, guys. Austin, get up here. Show me best. Okay, you're the first one in the drill. You set mm-hmm. the standard. Like in and out the huddle, in the locker room, at practice, in the drill, in the film study. Austin, are you giving me best here? And then I can speak throughout the course of the year. Great best sequence. Mm-hmm. Right? Great team best right there. Everybody move together. It looks the same. It feels the same. It moves the same. Right? Mm-hmm. And I don't want my guard moving at 70% best and my tackle moving at best. It's going to be a problem.
Best has got to be best. When you think about fall camp DP, and let's say a team isn't meeting the standards, is that because upperclassmen haven't said it or underclassmen haven't reached it?
I haven't said it. Hmm. I haven't said it. Again, day one. Listen, if my best is a 4.8 40, that's my best. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we sure better do 4.8 together. Like, we better be 4.8 all the time. We can't be 5.2. Nope. We can't be 5.2. Because mm-hmm. 4.8 best means we're going to be 4.9 when we're tired. Mm. Right? And if their best is 4.4 and their tired is 4.6, I'm at a deficit. So I better figure out how to slow them down. And I better mm-hmm. execute perfectly. Give me best technique. Give me best understanding. Give me best preparation. Give me best finish. Best is an important thing because it's relative to the person that's hearing it and the person that is executing. But as the coach, I get to always reset to best. I don't I'm never going to accept less than. Like, that's the, like, people get caught up in, well, the player's not giving you best. Well, get the player out of it because there's somebody on the bench that wants to play. There's somebody on the bench that'll give me best.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Best is taking care of the ball, getting the most production out of the play, and then getting back to the huddle and getting ready for the next best play.
Mm-hmm.
If I haven't set the standard, I'm the director. I'm the paid pro. I'm the one that should set the tempo and the direction. Jay and I bump heads all the time because he says sometimes the player got to play. I get that. I absolutely get that. But if they're not doing that, and think about it, half the teams that will play this year will fail half the time. Well, whose fault is that? It's not always no. The coaches that set standards and are true to the standards, they will not accept the rest. They won't accept anything else other than the best. And I'm just a believer. You've been around me enough to know that in this space, we have standards. Mm-hmm. And if the simple things aren't met, I lose my mind. Why? Because how you do one thing is how you do everything. And I mean it. Like, mm-hmm. Look, I coach every day. I just coach on radio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you hear it. Austin, why is this? Is that your best? Was that your best? Nope. Okay. Okay.
It's going to be interesting to monitor that in the context of Nebraska football when Matt Rhule says own it, right? We spent some time going over that, just how willing and able are these players to own it, right? And that's where I think DP Husker fans need the truth from, you know, people like us sitting here, people writing about it, because if we're being told Nebraska's best is 4-4, to use your example,
mm-hmm.
you know, but Nebraska's best is really 4-5, 4-6. That makes a difference because we're not in those walls every day. We don't have access to the testing numbers, you know? So if we're being told, yeah, I mean, that's the best they can do. You know, this is how high we are, you know, high flyers. We can run this fast. We can make this play X number of times, but it doesn't come true either. Coaches aren't setting the standard. Like you said, players aren't playing up to it. Or maybe there was false information along the way, which is why I think having a solid baseline of what to expect, we don't know all the time if the coaches are getting the most, getting the least, or getting somewhere in between out of the players. That's why I think, no, recruiting rankings aren't everything. We need to find out, you know, for 12 Saturdays, what is Nebraska's best? It's one thing to read about it. It's one thing to be told about it. But sometimes it's hard to tell, you know, from the outside, well, why is Nebraska only, you know, 7-6 last year? Maybe things, they squeezed everything they could out of that group.
Well, things that you can't see,
mm-hmm.
right? Again, we talk about it all the time. In the star system, there's no star for heart, intelligence,
mm-hmm.
film study, dietary. Are you taking care of your body? Are you getting enough rest? Is your girlfriend happy mm-hmm. with you right now? There's a bunch of stuff that falls into it. And then you have to keep best as the thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, man, if you bring your girlfriend out of here on the practice field, this is a problem. This is a problem. Hey, man, if you bring academic struggle into the locker room, it's going to affect. We cannot be at our best. That means because your best hasn't shown up. You have to walk in the door at your best. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that, quite frankly, listen, if we're a 4-7 speed team, but the Big Ten is a 4-4 team, I better kick their tail in bench presses. I better be more sound. I must test mm-hmm. out better in film study. I must test out better in being effective, getting my hand placement right, my leverage mm-hmm. right. My football IQ has to be higher than the 4-4 guy. Mm-hmm. If their IQ is higher, their work ethic is higher, they're faster and stronger, it's a problem.
Oh, no.
It's a problem because then I have to figure out how I got to. Okay, maybe I got to trick them. Maybe I got to trick them, right? Like, maybe I have to be smarter than them. Like, I got to fool them, right? Mm-hmm. This is the thing that happens, right? You see the coaching player. Oh, we're going to run a punt return, reverse punt return, because, quite frankly, they're 4-4 at high IQ. Hopefully, we get one of them that's a dumb on the play and doesn't hold balance, and we can get the reverse outside. If it doesn't work, it looks like Nebraska 2021, where, you know, bad things happen on special teams all the time, right? Because you're trying to do things that you shouldn't ought to do. Onside kick in Ireland. Why? Yeah. If you don't trust the your own process, your own belief system, then you do that nonsensical, hey, you know what we should do here? No, we should do exactly what we're good at. That's what we should do. And if this ain't the thing we're good at, my goodness, what are we doing?
And we got to get better.
Yeah, in a hurry.
Let's go to break. We'll continue Old School, brought to you by the Mercado, right after this on The Ticket.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Thanks to DP for sitting in while we awaited the Husker Hall of Famer, Jay Foreman. Let's go to our Aloe Fiber VIP line and bring him in right now. Jay, how are you? How are you feeling? Did the heat get on you? How's the back? How are the ankles? How's the golf swing feeling? All those good questions. How are you?
Dude, hey, I'm broke down like an old Chevy Chevette trying to drive across country. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Father Time, he takes no prisoners. And, well, you know, it's all good, though. It was for a good cause for Eric Crouch. And, you know, a lot going on today, you know, and with the Huskers starting off. And it definitely let me know when football season starts, I no longer can go through a football workout like I used to.
But you did it once before, and we respect you for that. You said it, though, fall camp day one, it's here. It's in the books for the Huskers. We heard from Matt Rhule, Luke Lindenmeyer as well today. But, Jay, here we are, fall camp. If football season wasn't real before, well, wake up, people. Football's 31 days away.
Yeah, I mean, it's right here in your face. And, you know, all the fun and games is over. And now that, you know, not the real work begins, but now you're playing for a tangible result. You know, not that you weren't before, but, you know, it is. Now you're really taking, you know, everything counts and you know, everything's magnified. Because they are keeping score. And so it's a different type of mindset or a different type of situation. But really the work was done or should have been done or probably was done, you know, before that. And, you know, there's an old saying by a great philosopher, Thomas Osborne, said that, you know, you win your first third of your games through spring in the off season. And then you win your second third is how you take on fall camp in the first four or five games. That means you got to continue to work as if, you know, you're just getting into camp, and then you're able to use your bye week and how you're trained and all the stuff that you know, your foundation set or you set forth to, you know, obviously, you know, finish the season strong. And so, you know, there is no tomorrow, there is no turning back, but, you know, it is just day one. There's plenty of days to put, you know, obviously, you know, build a brick by brick or whatever and, you know, analogy that they want to use. But, you know, today's a big step, you know, into hopefully the right direction for Nebraska and the football program.
Let's start with Jay. Day one of fall camp, maybe through the end of this week, the first full week of fall camp. What, as a player, are you looking to get accomplished here now that fall ball's officially on you?
Well, you want to make sure that, you know, I mean, what you want to do is just verification within yourself, all the hard work and dedication and sacrifice that you put in the offseason is this continuation from the spring game and through the summer workouts. And, you know, look, you know, you can work hard and you always just come in and probably think that, you know, you're in good shape and, you know, you've done everything you need to, but then obviously you want to, you know, get some, you know, tangible, you know, verification of it. And then obviously you want to, you know, depending on where you're at as far as your tenure in the program, you want to make sure that you're able to, you know, provide leadership, provide guidance, you know, continue, you know, get better at your game. You know, you're doing probably a lot of things in the off season without pads. So you want to make sure that when you do put the pads on, all the things you've done in the weight room and in the film room, you know, come to fruition. So there's a lot, you know, like I said, you operate individually, but you have to think collectively. Everything that you do individually has to be for the betterment of the team, and the betterment of the team ends up being the better for you. The good thing about starting fall camp, I think, you know, the general across the landscape of college football is that all the, you know, the NIL talk and all that stuff is done. Now this is the guys, when you look in the weight room, or not in the weight room, but in the locker room, who's going to help you win, you know, as many games as possible. You're not going to get a Peyton Manning in the transfer portal in the middle of camp, you know, unless something crazy happens. So now everybody that's in that locker room has to pull and push in the right direction in order for you to reach the goal that you've set up, you know, set forth all the way back in January or whenever they first started, you know, off-season conditioning.
DP and I were talking a little bit, Jay, about as a coach and his experience, what was most important here in that first week as well. And he said setting the standard, right? Knowing what behaviors are tolerated, which ones are encouraged, and which ones absolutely won't fly. When you were at Nebraska in your locker room, how easy was it for you guys in that locker room to set the standard and make sure that you know, guys that were new to campus, guys that were maybe younger than you, freshmen, sophomores, made sure, you know, beyond any doubt, they knew what the standard was and what it would take to live up to that standard, both on the football field and off it?
Well, I mean, it was easy because the guys that, you know, were way before, and you're talking about like, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you know, set the path, you know, and, you know, 90, you know, 91, 92, 93, you know, set forth the path when I was a young player. And I saw how the guys that were a little bit older, you know, particularly, you know, Troy Dumas, Clint Brown, Dante Jones, Dwayne Harris, Jared Thomas, all those Christian Peter and all those guys, Phil Ellis and Doug Coleman, Ed Stewart, I saw how those guys worked. So I just essentially, you know, replayed or copycatted them and then put my own spin on it and did everything that they did. And then I just kind of made it my own way of going about my business. And it's a good way to kind of, you know, pay it forward or give back. You know, you got to show guys the way, you know, things should be done, because you don't want the program, or at least, you know, we thought we didn't want the program to slip. And so that's what, you know, was put upon us. And then, you know, we went out there and the standard was the standard. It was national championship or bust. College football was drastically different as it was. And, you know, the circumstances were different, but, you know, we were able to use that as motivation. It wasn't backing down from a challenge. It wasn't, you know, lowering the standard or anything like that. We were just like, you know what, we are going to meet the standard. And, you know, 95 was better than 94. We, you know, we stubbed our toe in 96, and then we came back with a vintage in 97. And even in 98, we felt like, you know, we had a chance to do what we needed to do, but we just didn't have that missing ingredient or that, you know, combination of, you know, talent, skill, leadership, and a little bit of like it factor. And then they were able to do some better things maybe, I think, in 99. And so, you know, I think it right now for this team, it's like, hey, look, you know, you did some good things. You had a really good offseason as far as the transfer portal, so forth and so on. Now let's take it to the next level and try to do bigger and better things in the win and loss column. And that's the only thing that they can do as far as what they're doing right now. And you're not going to be able to do it without, you know, putting forth your best effort day by day. And I know that's a slogan, but it is. I mean, every day, every minute, you know, everything that you think about. And I know that you need your free time, and everybody wants to have the, I guess, work-life balance, but you guys are professionals now. You're getting paid, right? You know, whether it's through social media, NIL, revenue sharing, whatever it is. So right now, you know, your job is to be the best that you can be, because ultimately, while you're cashing those checks, and that's great, and I'm all for it, you know, that does come with circumstances, expectations, and standards that come with that paycheck. And so you got to meet those. And the only way to meet those, is, you know, putting in a good, honest day's work and then keep doing it day by day. And circumstances can't change how you operate, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
Speaking of that, Jay, a big theme for Matt Rhule today was own it. He mentioned that quite a bit at Big Ten Media Days as well, both in the context of the on the field, right? You know, the number one issue he said was we just weren't talented enough. We have to get better. Everyone across the board has to improve. He mentioned it in the context of taking the Nebraska job. No, we're not going to make excuses for it, right? We own the situation that we're in, and then take ownership of what it is we want it to be. But I think the own it mantra can also apply to the work that went in over the offseason and the work here in fall camp. When you hear Matt Rhule say own it, and those are the two words that are plastered across Memorial Stadium, the new facility, and all those places that the football players are going to be, you know, existing for the better part of the next month, what do you think that the purpose of the message own it is from Matt Rhule to his players?
I like it, you know, that he's putting the onus on them. You know, like, look, own your team, own the results, own your work. You know, obviously as a coaching staff, they're going to own their job, which is putting in the X's and O's and, you know, keeping you in line. But, you know, own it. You know, don't run from it. I mean, he's just essentially saying the same thing that I said. Own it. You do own it. You know, own your team. Own the results. Own the day that you work in. You know, the day-to-day work. own the effort that you put in, and more importantly, the intent that you show up to be the best that you can be. And once you own it, then it becomes like part of your DNA. Then you're more invested. And so, I can't speak for him, but when he says own it, I want you more invested. I want you to invest in this thing that that the donors have invested in, that the team, the athletic department has invested in, that the fans have invested in. So you will put in as much as people have been putting out for you to be successful. And then once you own it, then it means more. Then you understand, when you start owning stuff, whether it's from a mentality or, if you buy something, you're going to take a little bit more care of it. You're going to feel more emotionally invested. You're going to be spiritually invested in it. And then when you step out there on the field, you're going to do anything and everything in your power, not to let it down or let anybody down that's involved with it. And so owning it is a big deal, and sure, you could use a lot of like phrases and all that stuff and so forth and so on. But really the more important thing is doing the right thing, owning, your process, owning how you go out there and approach the game. And then once you do that, man, because now it's like, you're letting you know that the talent is there, the excuses are over. Let's go own it and let's go see what the best we can do as far as putting the wins and losses out there on the field.
That's Husker Hall of Famer Jay Foreman with us on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. We'll go to break. We'll wrap up Old School, another segment with Jay on the start of fall camp for Nebraska football right after this.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back here during Old School with Foreman and Orman. I am Orman. Joining me on the phone is Foreman. That's Jay Foreman, Husker Hall of Famer and host of Old School. Jay's on the road. I'll be back for tomorrow's shows and day two of fall camp. Jay, any other takeaways from fall camp? I know you were out on the golf course, but I know you're with football heads. Anything else people that need to know about either this Husker camp or kind of fall camp in general here on day one and week one?
It's a big time and it's a big year, and I think you just got to take it day by day and just kind of deal with it the way as it goes. And I think obviously it's a program changing year potentially, and so from there you just got to make sure everything is everything, and the main thing is the main thing. The most important game is obviously Cincinnati, right? You can't worry about Michigan or anything like that, even though people start talking about it. And the most important day is tomorrow. I'm sure they're watching tape and then you want to make adjustments and, you want to see what you did well and then what you can get better at. And then you want to continue to magnify and build on what you do well. And then you want to continue to minimize what your weaknesses are and, obviously accentuate your strengths. And then you want to make sure that bond is there, within the teams, and that's offense, defense, and special teams. Because ultimately, if you want to get to the goals that that they've said, or be a better team than next year or than last year, is that you got to get better at everything. There's nobody on the team that's a finished product. There's nobody on the team that feels like you should feel like they're a finished product. And that's the great thing about it is, you got a lot of answers or a lot of options. Now you got guys that potentially can be answers. And then also the biggest thing is that everybody's got to go through it together. There's not one player on the team that I can think of just off the top of my head that's showing up to camp is like, okay, I'm just kind of going through the motions and I'm a All-American and all that. And now granted, you'd like to have five or six All-Americans, but more importantly, you want to have guys that are, in it to win it. And everybody has, goals and aspirations individually, but collectively, everybody has things that they drastically can get better at. And when everybody has that mindset, doing it for the right purposes, then the days, tend to go by faster. And the reason why they go by faster is because you're so intent and you're so focused on the bigger picture, which is getting better individually and collectively, that you're not worried about how much time it is. And then you could go over time. You could, essentially, I don't know what time meetings will get over. You could be up there, having pizza or whatever and talking about things outside of football. And next, it's 10:30. And even though if you have to get up at 7:30, the joy of going there and working hard is part of the process. And so once it becomes, getting better at practice and versus getting through, then, practice doesn't become a nuisance. It becomes, more of a purpose and obviously a privilege.
We're talking with Jay Foreman, Husker Hall of Famer, with us here on the line. You brought up an interesting thing there, Jay, about you know, always getting better at something. How much of fall camp is getting better, you know, at who you want to be versus being better at who you are and in the role the team is asking you to play? Obviously, it's a constant process of growth and of learning. But I know we talk about this in basketball all the time, right, where summer is where you add those new skills. You see if you can expand your game, whereas fall, winter, you know, maybe even spring in that season, that's where you really, you know, double down on the role that you're going to be asked to play. What's that balance like here as Nebraska's starting fall camp?
Well, it is. I mean, it's a hard thing because you got a lot of, you know, spots that are, you know, I don't know if they're solidified or not, but you got guys that are, you know, whether you're in competition for a starting spot or like a backup, but a rotational role, you know, like every spot's open. Now, sure, you got some starters. Obviously, Dylan's the starter. Emmett's the starter. Dane Key, Hunter, and all those are guys that are solidified. But you got to think, you know, those spots behind them or like maybe even with them or potentially could eat up some playing time is there about you defensive line and linebacker and all that. Your role definition, you know, is such a huge part of fall and summer camp that it's a tricky part to, you know, I don't wish, you know, being Matt Rhule, you know, at all, because you got to set forth the practice plan and the atmosphere that, you know, you're competing, but then also there's a time that where you have to cut off and then start to get that continuity, all while continue to develop and then push the guys that maybe are starters and guys that are potentially trying to be co-starters or rotational players at the same time with the NCAA rules and with the emotions of players and dealing with all that stuff. And then that's where the main thing has to be the main thing, right? And that's where you got to understand, you know, you can go from a guy that is a co-starter and playing 50% of the time to, you know, one or two plays, you know, you're making the right way. Then you're playing 60, 70% of the time. Now your whole mindset changes. Now you are a guy that they're preparing for versus a guy that they know that plays. And that is a huge thing. And then obviously you want to create an atmosphere. Lastly, is that you want to see, you know, I would want to see the guys that I know that can answer the bell, right? Everybody's motivated when you're, you know, essentially playing like a Texas Christian, you're beating the brakes off them, right? And it's easy. I want to know the guys that can dig in, right? And the guys that are going to go and still compete. You know, I always think about the game that, you know, like at the interception against Colorado, you know, we're down like 7-10, you know, 7-0 or 10-0. You know, we couldn't get a first down. Defensively, we were trying to gel. You make one play, next thing you know, the floodgates open. You got to constantly try to find and push guys, not only to the breaking point, but where they can actually go break through their breaking point. Every man has a breaking point. And how big that breaking point is just how you harden them in camp. And that's the tricky part of trying to, you know, run an organization, a program to get to the national level and then obviously get back to prominence like everybody wants it to be.
Last thing then for you, Jay, when you think about that room that might have some guys ready to expand their skills, but also maybe need to focus in on a role. For me, I go to the tight end position, right? Luke Lindenmeyer, a guy that a lot of people have expectations for. Is he more than just a traditional tight end, just an inline blocker? Think about Carter Nelson. Is he, how much is he adding to his blocking repertoire as opposed to just the mismatch nightmare, right? Heinrich Harburg has a lot to prove, I think, as a tight end. That room's going to be really fascinating to watch to see if that's a room of guys that get pigeonholed into these are your skills, this is what you're best at, this is how we're going to use you, or how many of those guys can develop into, you know, this kind of Swiss Army knife so Nebraska's maybe less predictable.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like that's the one of the biggest group, or like one of the groups that are going to have the spotlight. It's role definition. It's how much better you got in the offseason. Who's going to rise above, you know, everybody else? The cream rises to the top. Is it Lindenmeyer? Is he not just going to be a move tight end inline blocker because he's sneaky athletic and can make plays, got good leadership skills? And then where do the, like, the jokers go? Like, I always think, like, we were just in Vegas. Where are the guys that have the ace in the hole, right? You know, what is Heinrich Harburg? What has he done to become actually a functional tight end? Carter Nelson, are, you know, like, are you healthy and be, you know, more of an inline blocker? You know, Bonner. Ingridson, who essentially just came out of the womb as a blocking tight end, but it's sneaky athletic. Can he use his body? All, you know, Marcus Satterfield's room is so interesting because you got to have a guy that's got to step up and be Dylan's, like, safety net. You got to have guys step up and be threats, but then also they got to come together as a group because they have different body types and different, you know, options offensively. you know, both offensively, is like in the pass game and the run game. But more importantly, they can provide, you know, a spark on the special teams as well. You know, blocking, you know, being able to run down and cover kickoffs. And then obviously being on the travel roster. That room is so interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how it, like it, you know, it works, you know, works itself out.
That's Jay Foreman, Husker Hall of Famer, with us on our Outlet Fiber VIP. Lion Jay, thanks for calling in. Drive safe and get back home, and we'll see you for a couple hours for On the Block tomorrow.
No doubt, man. I'll see you.
That's Jay Foreman, again, Husker Hall of Famer, with us there on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. That'll do it for Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredient Butcher Shop, with three Lincoln locations and one up in Omaha. We will turn your attention on the radio dial to the Kansas City Royals. We will turn your attention on stream to the Kansas City Royals. On air, you'll have the game. On stream, you'll have me on the baseball corner talking about the Royals' decision to extend Seth Lugo, one of the most coveted trade chips out there on the market. Royals were maybe a little more hesitant than others to make that move. They said, we're going to extend Seth Lugo instead. We'll talk about that. Emmanuel Clase busted for gambling, baseball's Hall of Fame class of 2025. And Nick Kurtz on an all-time heater for anyone, not just a rookie. All that ahead on the baseball corner on stream. Royals on the air after this.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.